you've done it. Congratulations, you figured out how to plug in headphones.
007.
Congratulations, 007. You've managed to plug in your headphones. Now you'll be able to
as
hear
you
your
know,
co-host.
007.
As you know, 007, that mixer will allow you to hear your co-host.
Fascinating.
Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood
is that
professionals...
Is the actual opening of the episode? We got just let's yep. start over.
Welcome, 007, to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I am your... host are of indeterminate origin, Freddie Wong.
I was going to say, are you doing Ralph Fiennes or are you doing Michael Caine, who's never been in a James Bond movie?
It get blended there.
Hello, 007, I'm Michael Caine.
I'm Michael Caine.
It feels like he's been in a 007 movie, right?
It's weird that he didn't play James Bond at some point.
Yeah.
Like, where James Bond's like drunk, horny older brother.
That'd be good. That should be the next Bond movie.
It's just like Cockney James Bond, and he just drinks and punches people in
I mean,
the face.
To be fair, that's basically
I guess that's
kind of
what James Bond is.
Yeah.
I guess
Kingsman is that too.
I'm Will Campos. I was going to do like a look up in the bird. It's a plane, it's an air, it's a screenwriter thing, but Freddie started with this weird James Bond energy that has nothing to do with our episode. So here we are. I'm Will.
Hi, I'm Matt. I'm a, I guess, writer, director, and a dad, and I'm feeling a little under the weather because my baby's been sick, and I think I'm getting sick, too.
You got sick from your baby?
That's pretty common.
That's jacked up.
The babies don't really understand personal space, so there's a lot of just hands in your mouth out of nowhere.
Is it too late to get a return?
On the baby?
Yeah.
No. I mean, yes, it is too late.
Is it past the warranty period?
Yeah. All right, well, what are we doing this week?
We're amazingly doing Superman this week.
Oh, God.
Which you can tell by the All-American intro to this episode. So there was a lot of fans have been asking us to do this because in the news recently, Warner Brothers had a press quote where they were like, golly gee willikers, we just can't figure out Superman. We can't figure out how to do a new movie about our big blue boy, Superman.
We're looking at, it's like a hot... buff, white, all-American boy who's got superpowers, and we're like, it's impossible to make this relatable. And we have no idea how anybody could possibly like this.
Now, so we're like, all right, we'll give it an hour of our time, fuck it, on the week before Christmas, when we've got that sort of like end of the year senioritis. So I'm a big Superman fan. I enjoy Superman quite a bit. I think he is a very challenging character. So I warn all of you listening, this is going to be one of those effort episodes. This isn't going to be one of those funny ones where Freddie talks about his ding-dong for 20 minutes. By the way, my mom listened to that.
Oh, did she? Oh, yeah. Good reviews on that
one.
She
said it was one of the funniest episodes we've done in a while. So thanks, Mom.
Your mom sounds like a cool
lady.
But
not this one, Mom. This is going to be some hardcore effort thinky.
This is that nerd shit.
Brain-scratchy, story-break energy.
I think Will has been asking to do Superman since, like, episode 4. Like,
it's
you've definitely
been on our list for
Superman's
a while.
Come up a lot.
And just for full transparency, all my knowledge of Superman comes from the Zack Snyder movies. And I'm not, like, I dislike Superman. I'm just not
through the first one.
Yeah, I'm just not I just don't really know much or care. And the end of Kill Bill. That's pretty much I can pretend to know about Superman because I watched Kill Bill Volume 2.
Oh, yeah. So you learned about how Clark Kent is how Superman thinks of us. It's his reflection of us. And what is he? He's a coward. He's weak.
Exactly. So,
yes. All right. So, Superman. I do want to say that I'm sure, Freddie, I am giving you carte blanche to try to derail us with goofy hijinks.
You think that this... I am 6 hours away from getting on a plane and going on vacation. If you don't think I'm in big vacation energy right now, you had another thing coming, baby.
All right. The clock starts now. Superman.
Freddie's like 20 feet farther from us than me and you are to each other.
Yeah, it's like a big... I mean,
you guys should be farther apart
even. I know,
because
we got the loud voices.
But you idiots need to type on your laptop for
some reason.
I just
want everybody to know the energy here is that Freddie's just so laid back, like across the room, just fucking staring down Will.
These are my comfy pants.
All right.
All right.
Will, why don't you tell us...
Tell me about Superman.
Who is Superman?
Superman, or Kal-El of Krypton... was a baby boy sent from a dying world of Krypton by his two loving parents, Jor-El and
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad saved their one baby boy son because they knew the planet was going to blow up. And so they sent Al Gore, a.k.a. Superman, to Earth. And they shot him off in a little space pod.
Wait, how many people were on this planet?
That was like a bunch of people.
It's a planet. There's a lot of people.
Whole dang
and
planet.
Only one guy got out?
Well... Welcome to General Zod. Welcome to other Kryptonians that may show up at different points in the story.
I mean, if Earth were to blow up right now, how many people do you think would get out? Just Elon Musk.
That's true.
So, I mean, yeah, it's you know.
So Superman, Elon Musk?
So... Superman's Elon Musk. Superman, as a little baby boy, lands in a cornfield in Kansas, where he's picked up by Ma and Pa Kent, who are two old-timey Kansas farmers who raise their boy right, their little adopted son, and they name
so
him
they
Clark
grow corn.
Kent.
So and they grow corn.
I think they
sucking
grow corn.
Sucking off the government subsidy teat, I see. Starting him off strong. Okay.
Isn't that Princess Kaguya? Is like, what's the baby that's like in like the plant?
Yeah. He's like Princess Kaguya.
I just really prefer the image of like them opening up a corn husk and there's a little baby.
There's
Superman.
A little baby Superman. They send Superman out in a giant ear of corn. All right. So then Superman, you know, he grows up learning truth, justice, and the American way. His body is powered by our bright yellow sun.
Convenient.
And he's got, which allows him to jump high and fly and shoot lasers and see through things, and he has super hearing. He has, we could get into a lot of their like.
Wait, so would he be stronger if he was butt naked? If he was doing taint tans,
is Superman missing out on a lot of powers because he's covering his taint? You know, Will, the 30 minutes of exposure of Superman's taint.
It feels
taint.
Like he should have a face. It feels like he could hide his face better if he put a mask on and then just had a little opening where his taint was.
It's
and
true.
Then he could just, you know, show that bad boy to the sun for 30 taint. Seconds and then be fully charged. Nobody would ever know that he was Clark Kent.
Yeah, all that's right. Way better.
So,
could you imagine Superman just this naked, bald guy with his dick out and being like, I need the power of your son, citizens. Everyone's like, what the? I mean, to be fair, I guess Dr. Manhattan's pretty much
that,
right?
Yeah, pretty much Dr. Manhattan. Yeah. That's the fun of that. Okay.
All right.
So, All-American boy.
All-American tanning boy.
So, he ages normally.
I believe he ages normally.
Okay.
So, did he go through, like, puberty and shit?
Yeah, he did.
Fuck,
yeah,
man.
The Zack Snyder.
Do you have
movie
any funny jokes you want to do about Superman going
no,
through
I'm
puberty?
Just thinking that I just have not thought about Superman since like I was like,
whole bunch of holes in the ceiling over the over his room, and then like
cool.
Our boy's becoming a man.
You definitely want to be the girl who's like, oh, who did you lose your virginity to? It's like, oh, and like in sophomore year to Superman. That's a pretty fucking good
all right,
story. Okay,
all right. So anyway. Yeah, so basically he, you know, he fights for truth, justice, and the American way.
Okay, so can you explain something? Where is, so I
and
know
then,
that
oh
he,
wait, I forgot. There's one more detail. He works as a newspaper reporter at a major metropolitan newspaper in the city of Metropolis. It's called the Daily Planet. He's a reporter and he's in love with a girl named Lois Lane, but he's got this secret identity because he didn't want people to know he's Superman. And so he pretends to be this doofus named Clark Kent, who's all bumbly and awkward. He wears a pair of glasses and that's how people don't know who he is.
Okay.
Well,
so
that's Superman.
So
that's
just
all
quick
you need to know.
So Metropolis.
Yes.
Is it like supposed to be Chicago? Or
no,
is
so
it...
here's what's weird. Okay. DC's weird about this. Gotham and Metropolis both exist and are separate from other cities. Like actually, Gotham City, a lot of people, Gotham City is in New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah, the whole DC Gotham thing takes place in Jersey.
Fuck
like,
up, it's just not supposed to be just New York.
It's
which
not,
is what,
it's not, because there is a New York.
Are you fucking kidding me? I've been thinking about
well,
this.
Well, once you combine, once they decide to make all their superhero stories in the same universe, there are stories that take place in New York, so they have to be like, shit.
Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Metropolis is like kind of like, I don't know where Metropolis is supposed to be. Someone else look that up.
Okay.
I assume some Midwest. I assume it's got to be a Chicago
analog. Like a Chicago
analog.
Apparently, someone once said that Metropolis is supposed to be New York by day, and Gotham is New York by night.
Interesting.
Wow. Okay, so here's some basic questions I have for
Superman
you, Superman expert.
Oh, they based it off of the skyline of Toronto when he drew it originally.
Oh, Toronto makes sense. Superman is funny because he seems like a very Canadian character.
Yes. Okay, why
that's true.
Why did he become a reporter? I'm trying to get a sense of like
what's his deal?
Because I get like any superhero thing, I get the idea that, you know, he's got this power, so he wants to do good in the world. So obviously he's called upon to fight big villains and to do the right thing. I'm trying to get why.
All right, here we go. This is from Reddit, okay. Ask Science Fiction.
Okay.
Why did Kyle choose journalism as a profession for his alter ego? I believe it was twofold. Once, we could be abreast of world events. Even with super hearing, I doubt he's privy to everything that's going on in the world at all times. So becoming a journalist in newspaper means he had immediate access to worldwide disasters.
Just sit on Twitter, loser.
So this was in the 1930s, to be fair.
Can you imagine if he like entered for InfoWars by accident?
Oh, and it was also so he could surreptitiously control and influence information as it related to reporting on Superman.
Whoa.
Pretty smart if you think about it.
No offense, that feels like some fucking lore nerd answer. Like, I'm like, there's got to be like a... character reason.
All right, here we go. Back in the 1930s, being a journalist, many got to hear about crimes as they happened, which allowed him to stop them.
Okay.
Since journalism is an intellectual career, Kal-El's abilities don't give him an unfair advantage, which appeals to his sense of justice. I kind of like that.
Yeah, okay, it's because he's
not
going to
be
dork.
A football star.
As others have said, journalists don't need to be in an office during the day. and they're expected to appear at the sites of crimes and natural disasters.
Oh.
Pretty smart. Kal-El feels that journalism is an important profession and that by exposing crimes and injustices, Clark Kent, he does more good in the long run than by punching Lex Luthor as Superman.
Okay.
That reason really works for
yes,
me.
Yes, I like that.
Because he's not, this is the beauty of Superman. He could punch the whole world into submission if he wanted to, but he doesn't because he believes in what, gentlemen? Truth, justice, the American way. And yes. The American way is not you go fly up and you rip, you know, Lex Luthor's head off.
How does Superman feel about taxes?
he does not like them, Freddie.
Superman feels like a boring centrist when it comes to like a lot of his political opinions.
Until you flip to his opinion articles in the fucking newspaper.
Daily Planet, and he's sitting there talking about like, ooh, universal basic income. I don't think that's a good idea.
I was saying some super people might do a little bit more work than everybody else, and maybe not everybody gets paid the same. Okay.
All right.
So Superman feels like he'd be in the articles, like just like Clark Kent, like explaining how tax brackets work so everyone understands, you know.
I like that.
Clark Kent, roving reporter for 538.com.
And then he stayed.
And they
like,
got him on the Chicago Bulls beat.
Fucking Nate Silver is definitely like a brainiac Lex Luthor alter ego. He's going to control the world through statistical analysis.
Okay. I do like using, especially in today's age, I do like the idea that he became a journalist or at least, you know, stays a journalist because he thinks journalism is important to truth, justice, and the American way.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Democracy dies in darkness.
Yeah. And I think in a perfect world, he'd be like, if I didn't have to go around punching people, like I could do more good just writing and breaking
his,
the
you
story.
Do that. They told, you know, his parents taught him that the truth is the most powerful force in the universe.
Yes.
Next to love and Goku, according to the Anime Crimes Division.
Goku and his ability to see through walls and laser people.
What if this is finally, we should get, I mean, the clock's rolling, obviously. What if this is finally the movie where Superman fights Goku? People want to know.
Okay, we'll get to Goku in a second.
Okay,
the last thing for me to understand the shape of this character is, what's the deal with Lois?
Well, he's in love with her. She's like a badass roving reporter lady.
Are they both like investigators or journalists?
Here you go. So
why
Lois
does he
Lane,
love her?
Lois Lane is a fictional character. Okay, blah, blah, blah. She's an award-winning journalist for the Metropolis newspaper, the Daily Planet, and the primary love interest of this superhero, Superman. So, I mean, she's just great. How could you not fall in love with Lois Lane? She knows the score. She's savvy. She's streetwise. She's, you know, a hardworking, you know, newspaper woman.
She's got it all going on, and it's attraction. He falls in love with her, and
again, I would imagine, he wants to be a journalist, but, you know, she's a great journalist. Mm-hmm. You know, so he probably admires that about her. Like, she's ambitious.
Yeah, how good of a journalist
she's brave. Part? You know, Lois Lane runs headlong into danger, and she doesn't have bulletproof skin or super speed or super strength. She just has her nose to the truth.
So why does he
and her dedication to the story. Because he's, this is something that is very interesting to me. If we're talking like big pie in the sky, like what I think a Superman movie should be, it's gotta be a romance, it's gotta be a newspaper movie, and it's gotta be an action adventure story featuring Superman and Lois Lane and the Clark Kent mystery identity thing. And I would keep it small scale, and I would tonally I would point to The Mummy as like something I would want to emulate as far as like a fun rompy action movie with like some heat to it and like, you know, big pulpy bad guys and like a nice simple morality tale at its core. Mm-hmm. Right? So here's an interesting question. Is Clark Kent entirely a facade in performance? Is he playing up his doofiness, right? Or is he just a doofy guy when he's not being Superman? And I kind of go back and forth in terms of which I think is a more interesting take for Clark Kent. Is this like a deliberate, contemptful mockery of humanity? Although again, like it does make sense to a certain extent that he plays up his doofusness to make sure that no one is going to suspect that he's Superman.
Well, again, that's like the Kill Bill thing, right? In Kill Bill, they talk about that his Clark Kent is his mask. It's the other.
But here's what's interesting to me, though. He didn't become Superman until he was an adult. It's not like he was a baby. He's like, I'm Superman,
yeah,
right? He grew up as Clark Kent, as a human being, right? And he developed a personality. He developed a sense of ethics, right? And a lot of the fun of early Superman stuff to me is the country boy in the city, right? Like, he's from the farm. His family raised him with, like, straightforward American virtues and morals. He's like, when he comes to Metropolis, like this big cynical place, it's like he steps straight out of a Norman Rockwell painting. And I do like that kind of energy as opposed to, like, he's just like
this conniving guy.
He's just a
like,
god. Who's
I mean, that feels like the Snyder
us.
Version.
Yeah. So that's all interesting.
Okay. Are we starting from the beginning? What's the, or do you want to just, or
let's just, I
not
think we
doing
should kick
story.
Around. Well, we need to figure out our villain, right?
Yeah.
So Lex Luthor's the classic. So let's talk about Lex Luthor for a second. Lex Luthor is his.
Fred, do you know anything about Lex Luthor?
Bald, Bill Gates and Zuckerberg and Elon Musk, all but right. evil, basically.
So I'll ask, well, who's Lex Luthor?
Lex Luthor is, all right, I'm on. He was originally introduced as a mad scientist whose scheme Superman would foil. Lex's portrayal has evolved over the years and his characterization has deepened. In contemporary stories, Lex is portrayed as a wealthy, power-mad American business magnate, ingenious engineer, philanthropist to the city of Metropolis, and one of the most intelligent people in the world. He runs a corporate conglomerate called LexCorp. He's
like dark Tony Stark.
Yeah, he's kind of like evil Tony Stark, evil Bruce Wayne, like that kind of thing. To me, what's interesting about Lex is so he's very, very, very smart. He's smarter than Superman. He is kind of like a human, like, you know, again, like he always resents Superman because Superman's like, you know, it's like this god who came from nowhere, right? And like, you know, he's this, you know, like, I mean, obviously not self-made, but like he is like, you know, this pinnacle of like humanity, or that's how he views himself, right? Like he's pure ego, and that he sees how genius, he's like, I'm a genius. I'm a cunning businessman. I'm handsome. I'm, you know, like I can fight. He's the whole package, right? But Superman's still better than him. It drives him nuts. It's not because Superman has big fists, fly around, punch stuff. It's because Superman has a heart. He cares about other people, right? That's something Lex Luthor can never buy with all his money and the power of the world. My favorite Lex Luthor line of all time is from, there's an arc from, I think, Batman and Superman, the Batman and Superman comic, where he becomes president.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he reveals that this has all been part of a scheme to do something even bigger. And then he's kicking Superman's ass, and he scoffs, and he goes, "President, you think I'd give up that much power?" And I'm like, that's Lex Luthor to a T. This is the guy who, if he became president, would be a step down for him.
Okay. So looking through, like, the best villains, what's interesting, it seems like outside of Lex Luthor, Superman villains are pretty freaking cosmic.
They're crazy. Yeah. You got Darkseid, you got Brainiac, you got Doomsday.
Bizarro, Doomsday. Yeah, they're not like...
Well, I think it's hard to have him fight, because he's, you know, a man god. It's pretty difficult to have him just fight like a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, human bad guy is
I'm trying to latch onto. I like Will's approach of something kind of grounded. I'm looking at the mummy. I'm thinking about the mummy in terms of, because like, who cares about an original story, right? Let's do what's a fun...
Yeah, let's get into
Superman
it.
Movie.
Yeah.
So this ranking has what a character that's usually, I guess, a sidekick, but it seems kind of interesting. I could see, because he's like a normal person, is Metallo, who is a con man or a soldier, which would be fun, like private military or something like that could also be relevant, who's injured, and then he's like Iron Man, but his heart's made of kryptonite. So like, if you do something where it's like, I was just thinking about the mummy, if you do that, like kryptonite is like, you know, some kryptonite also like came up, like, you know, was attached to the, you know, because it's from their planet, right? Kryptonite.
Yeah,
it's from Superman's planet. But like the idea of like somebody like uncovering like kryptonite like in a tomb or something like that. And then like, I don't know. And
so he's going, made out of kryptonite? That's his...
He's got kryptonite like bonded with him. So he's like, he can actually fight Superman.
Seems like a heavy for Superman to have to go up against. But seems like maybe like we would put him in the henchman card.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to throw Brainiac out there.
What's Brainiac?
So Brainiac is a extraterrestrial cyborg or android. So Brainiac's big thing is that he goes around and he collects like cities from planets, and he shrinks them down and puts them in jars and like takes them over. So like, he's most notorious for shrinking and stealing Kandor, the capital city of Superman's home planet Krypton. And so in some continuity, he's also responsible for Krypton's destruction. He's like this big, super intelligent, evil, you know, brain guy. You could do like, I could see like doing a plot around like he wants to shrink down Metropolis. Like he wants to capture the city of Metropolis. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. That would be a thought. Throwing that out there.
Because you could do like a scene that's like, there's an action scene happening in this like tiny marble that's in Brainiac's pocket. And it's like Superman's trying to break out. And then little tiny
Honey, I shrunk the Superman.
Well, yeah. Then like Superman comes out like he's like a microscopic.
Oh my
God. Finally breaks out of it.
Superman and Lois Lane get shrunk down all tiny and put into the city of Kandor.
Mm-hmm.
And then
and they gotta meet his
they
parents.
Gotta bust out, and then but they're all fucking tiny, and the stakes are then they gotta save the same thing from happening to Metropolis.
I dig that, because here's a question that always is, I think, pertinent with Superman, which is how do you make him not just, you know, a one punch man essentially, right? Like just like One Punch Man is kind of playing with now. How do you make him just in any situation that he doesn't just win because he's Superman? You have to throw things against him that are not, you know. Or he's always seems to be, you know, sort of put up against these sort of impossible decision making, but no one's quite considered. Yeah, you can punch, but what if you're just a little tiny little baby Superman?
I think, because again, I'm trying to hang on to what you originally said, which is like smaller stakes or like smaller scale, like adventure movie.
Smaller scale can you get?
But it feels like you want Metropolis shrinking to be like the turn, not like you've already seen like a shrunken city that involves his like cosmic backstory.
And then it's going to happen again.
It feels essentially have whatever, whoever the Brainiac is, it feels like, right, Lois Lane's got some hot scoop about the, you know, art dealership in Metropolis that she thinks something's, you know, going on. And, you know, Clark Kent starts, and, like, of course, that ends up being Brainiac, and then they think it's one thing, but it's really a plan to, like, once they activate a thing, they're going to shrink down Metropolis, and it feels like the fun turn into the third act is, like, Metropolis actually gets shrunk, and they're stuck inside tiny Metropolis, and then, again, your big third act action is, like, saving Metropolis as, like, or, and the fun of it is that he's tiny, so it's, like, he's been neutered.
There is one character we have not mentioned yet, who is Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy Olsen,
who is Clark Kent's dumbass photographer sidekick, who's, like, the comic relief, right? Superman was originally like, you know, it's a boy's fantasy story, right? And Jimmy Olsen was like the self-insert. He's the man. He's the Gary Stu, so to speak. Like, he's the goofy, like, Superman sidekick who's a reporter who thinks Clark Kent's like the niftiest guy on earth. And I was also like a big fan of Superman, right? And he's like, you know, always like trying to be a, you know, he's a cub reporter. So hear me out. Superman, because what if you did, like, I'm intrigued by tiny Superman and tiny Lois Lane.
What would it be like to get punched in the nuts by
what
tiny
if you
Superman?
Do that? Okay, hear me out. This is such a lark of a movie. This is not what Warner Brothers wants at all. They want to set up their whole franchise and do whatever. But you do. Clark Kent and Lois Lane are on the trail trying to figure out what's going on. Why did Lex Luthor's men steal this diamond from the art gallery? And then, of course, he's using it to power a laser. And what is the laser? It's a shrink ray, right? And they're like, my God, what can he do with a shrink ray, right? And it's like, he could, you know, like, it's a blah, 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 blah. He's going to sell it to the government, whatever. They get captured and get shrunk down, right? And then you do, now the two of them need Jimmy Olsen to step up and be the hero that's going to save the city or, like, blow the scoop or whatever. Then you get a whole act where it's, like, tiny Superman and tiny Lois Lane on Jimmy Olsen's shoulder, like, whispering in his ear. You do, like, or maybe Jimmy doesn't even realize that Superman's helping him, right? And, like, the goons corner him, and then tiny Superman can't fight them, but he can grab Jimmy Olsen's fist and fly his fist harder to make him punch. Like, this is the kind of goofy
Ratatouille.
Shit that...
Ratatouille, Jimmy Olsen becomes Superman. And it's Ratatouille, and Superman's in his ear canal. Yes.
I could totally see this. What is the romance?
Okay.
It's Jimmy Olsen and his sweetheart, and Superman's
walking so you definitely have a B-card romance where it's Jimmy Olsen and his sweetie, and, you know, he's all tongue-tied and doesn't have the nerve to go talk to her or him, whatever you want to do, but you would do that. Jimmy Olsen doesn't have the nerve, and then he goes on this adventure, right? And he gets to feel like an ace reporter because he's got Lois Lane whispering in his ear what to do, and then he's, like, doing uppercuts and fighting people because Superman's helping him fly around, and he feels all great. But then when, like, the adventure's over, it's like, does he have the confidence, you know, now to say it?
No, so, I want Superman and Lois Lane's romance.
Okay, so Superman and Lois Lane's romance.
Now I'm just imagining a shot where they're, like, both, like, lying in his ear like a hammock.
And they're doing it
and then
in
they're
his
like,
ear.
And then they're, like, making out in his ear.
And Jimmy Olsen's like, oh, it's Jimmy so like, loud!
Hey, I can hear
it's
you!
It's so loud!
Everything you do sounds like it's like an ocean in there. There's so much wetness. What are you guys doing?
I could think of a lot more romantic places for tiny Superman and tiny Lois Lane to fall in love than Jimmy Olsen's hairy wax laden ear canal. You know he does not clean.
He's
in
like
there.
He's like, it's like literally Superman's like leaning back against like a hair, like a pillar. He's like, so Lois, did he really mean what you said? Like, I can hear everything you're saying.
All right, let's talk about, okay, you're right. Let's talk about Superman and Lois, right? So where are we in their relationship? Are they dating? Have they not started dating? Or do you want to do like she finds out that he's Superman? Is this like the two of them haven't had time to settle down in a while? Like it's like a married story? I don't know.
I feel like for this, if we're going to do that, it's a romance. It feels like you want to do that. They haven't kissed yet. Because idea, it's like it's the not kisses that's even sexier.
All right.
And you build
all
up
right.
to
so,
it.
Not kisses.
Okay. So
it's that tension.
All right. So then you got Superman. So we're like early Superman, right? Mm-hmm. Superman's been zipping around the city. Lois Lane has a crush on him, right? Mm-hmm. But he can't reveal who he is to her, and he's in love with her as Clark Kent, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would be interesting is here's what you could do, because it's always like, I can't open my heart to Lois Lane because like Superman has enemies, blah, 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 and she could get hurt. And then you would do Jimmy Olsen's like, no, dog, maybe it's that you could get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because he feels the same way Jimmy Olsen does when Jimmy Olsen's got the superpowers, right? Because you would do that. He's like, she sees Superman from afar, right? And he's this, I can be perfect when I'm Superman because Superman's the real mask, right? I've got the costume, I'm flying around, I'm saving the city, right? But if she gets to know the real me, like I'm just me doing my shit at the office, right? And she thinks I'm an idiot, right? Mm-hmm. So like, golly gee willikers. The reason he's worried about revealing who he is to her is it's like, what if she doesn't love me for the real me? Do you know what I mean?
I like that more than what you're saying about the, because that's like very the Batman Lego movie, which like to me feels like I, the thing that whenever you talk about why you like Superman, it always felt more charming that like Superman would be like, man, I really wish I could just like settle down with a girl and tell her who I really am and like have like nice kids. And like, it's like the problem isn't that like, I feel like he's not caught up in the, if I tell them who they are, they're going to have enemies too.
Because
that's,
like
a, very, that's a very Batman thing. It feels like his reasons for not asking her out are much more human and basic.
Yeah.
Like, just nervous or fear, or maybe she doesn't really like me, or, you know, we're both working at the same spot. I don't want to ruin this friendship sort of thing.
Well, and it's interesting that you would take like the whole like, well, Superman's a pretty tough act to live up to.
Yeah.
Right. Like you would do like, it would be a fun thing to do in the as a running gag. And like the beginning of the story is it's like every gal in Metropolis is in love with Superman. Mm-hmm. And then all the guys are like, golly gee willikers, the Superman's making us look bad. But he feels that way too.
Yeah.
Cause it's this image, right? It's this icon and he can't live up to it. Do you know what I mean? So like, that's what he's nervous about. Right.
Yes.
And so like and of course, but he's still drawn to her, right? So he keeps going on these romantic dates with her as Superman and doesn't have the heart to tell her what's really going on because he's worried, like, the second I tell her I'm really Clark Kent, that fucking doofus, she's going to reject me.
There should be like at a grocery store and there's a tabloid and the front page of the tabloid is like, you know, local woman says she slept with Superman at a bachelorette party. You won't believe the amazing details. And he's like, I don't believe that story, do you? He's like, oh, no. And she's like, oh, no, I've, you know, it's... You know, he's a man.
Like, whatever, he can do what he wants.
Yeah,
like, clearly she's really upset.
Yeah. It's like superhuman strength.
Do you think that she's do you think that them, Clark Kent and Lois in the office have like kind of a not so good, maybe a proper romantic comedy setup would be that they have a pretty icy office back and forth, right? Like,
yeah, what is their kind of relationship normally?
And she's like, this guy's a fucking idiot. She's trying to get him fired, right? That's the,
I don't know that I would say she's trying to get him fired, right? Like, it's like the kind of like, yeah, he's tongue-tied and clumsy, and right, she sees him as this sort of like naive country bumpkin, so to speak, right? And he's got more complexity to him than that. And of course, the punchline is that she doesn't see it because it's right in what's right in front of her face, right?
Yes.
So then you would do that. She's got a big Lex Luthor-related scoop she's been investigating, right? And then she bungles it at the beginning, and it's kind of Clark Kent's fault, right? Because he's along with her. And, you know, he, or like you see the classic, like it would be like he saves her life or something like that without her noticing that it's him. But he makes it look like he saw something through with the X-ray because he's Superman. Right. But instead he had to shove her out of the way. And then, you know, like it caused a whole catastrophe. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Daily Planet is the laughing stock. Right. So then as penance, as punishment, she and Clark Kent are sent to suck up to Lex Luthor by doing this profile on him at his big gala unveiling of whatever. Right. And then that's how they get onto the thing with the laser, because they sense the story of the hot scoop or whatever. And then while they're investigating that, they're like, my God, he's got a shrink ray.
I like that Lex Luthor's gonna like sue them for slander or something, because yes, they bungle a story, and then again it puts him in a place of power. And then yes, they are going to, you know, they talk, it's like, hey, we're gonna do, and again it's like Lex Luthor's bullshitting, but he's like, we're gonna do a whole profile on him and about his new charity and how wonderful he is, and you're gonna write it. Lois Lane, and she's like, oh god damn it, don't understand, he's a criminal. And he's like, yeah, well, you should have proven that before. Like,
oh, you could do, he's got like a new type of like 3D printing machine that can manufacture anything at this level of detail and nuance that you've never seen before. And it's like, you know, you can have one in every home, but what it really is a factory that's been shrunk down, and like there's slaves in there that are working on all this stuff, right? Like, this, the factory of the future is the Lex Luthor super factory or whatever, right? And they're like, my god, like, how's he doing this, like, what's going on? And then that's his shrink ray technology that he bought off of, you know, his scientist that's been working on this stuff is Brainiac in disguise. And then so Lex Luthor doesn't realize he's being played by an even smarter alien guy who's using Luthor's technology to develop this shrink ray that he can shrink the whole world and put it in a bottle.
Okay, so he wants to shrink the whole world.
Or whatever, Metropolis, whatever you want to do.
The whole world could be good.
But then what you do is that, like, Lois Lane's like, this
that's
is...
like a new, that's like a drug in space. Is you snort
you
planets.
You snort planets,
yo,
yeah.
Planet snorter, dude. No, yeah, this one got nuclear.
You do that, Brainiac is in love, and he wants to give his sweetheart a jeweled necklace with like a ring of the most beautiful planets in the universe.
And then he ran out of beautiful ones, so he chose Earth as like the last
one. Well, the Earth is the most coveted jewel of all.
Yes. Okay, I like that.
And do these humans appreciate it? No, they destroy its natural beauty and splendor. They don't deserve the Earth.
Oh, what's fun is if you did that, all of the Earth was shrunk and put into his pocket or whatever.
He's like, I got the whole
There'd be no
world.
Sun.
Oh, there would be no. Well,
and everyone would be dead.
Well, you kind of obviously play around with like how gravity works and stuff, but it'd be a very like Dark City esque. I feel like the whole world.
And then Superman loses
his
powers.
The whole world is dark, and people are getting cold, and it's like becoming like dystopian, and he's lost his powers.
Yeah,
and they're just gonna give up, and then it's like, you know, maybe spend like, are you gonna tell her how you feel right before the end? Like, what are you gonna do? And then it's like, you know, he feels like there's nothing he can do, and Lois Lane's still fighting for a way to make it right or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how they solve it, but they solve it by like, you know.
They just need to get him
he's
a little dose of sunlight.
He's got to fly real fast around the sun. And
yeah. Well, he just needs to get a dose of sunlight. Mm-hmm. That's all he needs.
Oh, he gets all those UV lights.
Freddie was going for a perennium tanning joke, I think is what Freddie was leading us towards.
No, but that would be cool. Like, they could focus on, like, they're like, what else is in his pockets? Like, we have this magnifying glass and this needle. We can poke a hole in his pocket and using this magnifying glass to focus the power of his sun into Superman's taint. And just for 10 seconds, he'll be able to have his power again.
They're like, Superman, we've recreated sunlight, but it's only going to be able to turn on for 2 seconds. Is that going to be enough? And he's Superman like, no, that's not going to be enough. And then some yoga instructor comes and is like, oh, you think it won't be enough, but did you know if the sunlight hits
the ancient Taoist practice? If
the
you
beginning
can
should definitely be that some roving hiker caught Superman tanning his butthole up in the mountains, and everyone's like, whoa, Superman.
No, I feel like Superman's totally uncool with it. And he's like, wait, what do I have to do? He's like, okay, can everybody turn around? And then he leans down, and then everybody's turned around, but then Lois Lane takes a glance back. And she's like, I like what I see.
And
he's like,
and that's how
you-
she realizes his secret identity, because she's seen Clark's butt. Actually doing that, she figures out who it is because she says she saw Clark's butt earlier in the adventure, and that she sees Superman's butt is very funny.
Actually, that's pretty good. Yeah, he's got like some sort of mole
or
something.
He's got a mole in the shape of Abraham Lincoln.
And you just do that crash zoom on the mole, and then she peels her glasses off. She's like, it's him.
It's him. It's Superman.
All right, that's in the movie. Mm-hmm. That's in the movie. She's going to find out it's Superman and Clark Kent are the same guy because
she
of the should
butt. Actually, I love it. I love her accidentally seeing Clark Kent's butt. Mm-hmm. And then like you can have the thing where like she's in like the, you know, the.
She's like, you might want to get that mole looked at, Clark. Too much sun exposure.
Yeah. And somebody shouldn't even tease her about it. And she's like, and like, wow, you saw his butt. He's such a handsome boy. How was his butt? She's like, it was nothing to be. It was, you know, it was a butt, whatever.
Statuesque.
It was no big deal. And then it's like, you said Superman's butt was whatever. Anyways.
That's true.
Yeah. But she lying. She thought it was awesome.
Okay.
He's got crazy. He's got
a nice butt.
Yeah, he's got a Gene Kelly butt.
I do love you just do, by the way, because we were talking, we saw
Six Underground. Ryan Reynolds has
a booty.
Yeah.
And it is on display in that movie. But yeah. I definitely think you make a running joke of that Superman, like the Clark Kent, just Superman does not realize he has like the nicest ass on earth, right? And he's like always wearing these pants that show off his huge butt. Anyway.
What's up with every other, how come it took Michael Bay to show the world that Ryan Reynolds' butt is really
that
good?
Seems like a mid. Well, I never saw Deadpool. Does his butt show up in Deadpool? I
mean, yeah, he's all over that.
Yeah.
He's all over that. I don't know. I don't remember his, but anyways. Enough about Ryan Reynolds' butt.
The problem with Deadpool is you don't know if it's CG butt or not.
Yeah.
You don't know if
it could
like,
be a stunt double's butt.
That could
also
be,
Michael Bay knows how to shoot the human form pretty, you know, sexy. Regardless of if it's Ryan Reynolds
right,
or
right,
whoever.
All right. Let's do this. This is good. This was easier than I thought it would be. You know what it is? It's not that Warner Brothers doesn't know how to make a Superman movie. It's they don't want to make a... It's like they're like, we don't know how to do a good Superman movie.
Yeah.
It's like, you could do a good Superman movie. It's just not a movie you want to make.
Yep.
That's the problem. You don't want to... Like, Superman's a big old dork. The movie's going to be a dorky, goofy
movie. Look at the trailer for what... I mean, from Joker to whatever the freaking Harley Quinn movie's called. The contraption of Harley Quinn's
the unbearable lightness of being.
Look at those trailers and their music cues and what they look like and think about this movie and be like, is Warner Brothers gonna fucking make this movie? No.
All right. So act one, right?
He's hiking in the Hollywood Hills and he's tanning his taint, and Lois Lane accidentally sees his butt as he's putting his clothes back on, and she's like, what were you doing?
It's an ancient
and he's like peeing because he's too embarrassed to talk about his taint tanning. I think he's too much of a square. Like, if you're going to set up ahead of time, somebody should mention it, and he laughs at it. Like,
and he's curious about it.
Oh, yeah,
and
then he has to do it in the end. Like,
that's perfect.
This really works.
Yeah, it's like it's part of the like art and culture beat. They're like, you guys see this tweet? This lady sunned her.
It's all about the shot of him like in like almost like a birth-giving pose with his legs straight up in the air, and you see a laser, and you see a bolt of light go to his butt, and he just... punch zoom to his eyes, and his eyes slide up like
pupils dilate.
Yes. Anyways.
All right. So our status quo is, so yeah, Clark Kent is the, he's been Superman for a little bit, right?
It's like a Mission Impossible 1 opening. I think this is the one. But you got this like event that they're trying to, again, it's fun to be like, right away you're in a thing where like she's clearly investigating Lex Luthor.
Yes. Mission Impossible 1 opening. Yes. The big gala, right? Yes. And she's in the knockout dress and Clark Kent is, you know,
a bumbling idiot.
Bumbling. She's her date for the evening, right?
Oh, that's the way you do. He's trying to make small talk and it's like all these cool hip people and he's not cool and hip.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, perennial tanning. I butthole. They're like, who is this idiot? Like, Clark, God, can you be a little cooler?
You would do that, but what you would do is that, okay, here you go. Here you go.
Like a hip
What you do. This is exactly what you do. Is that Superman getting all his power from the sun has inspired a whole wellness movement of hippie idiots who are really obsessed with the sun. So then Superman has to keep finding ways to be like, just to clarify, too much sun exposure will give you skin cancer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like ever since Superman shows up, it's like skin cancer rates start skyrocketing because everyone's like,
really
it's
like, I'm on the
suit. And okay, that's great. That's hysterical. Awkward Clark Kent at a party with a bunch of hippie, yuppie
billionaire
investors and LexCorp being like, I'm on the Superman diet.
It basically is just water and exposing
water
yourself.
And sunlight.
And he genuinely cares about this.
I expose every part of my body to the sun.
And Superman's like, well,
even the hard to reach places.
And Superman's like, well, the good thing is that, you know, on one hand, rickets is no longer a thing.
And yes, he's like,
rickets is due to a lack of exposure to vitamin D.
He sincerely cares.
Which doesn't
about these
happen
people.
In this universe anymore.
He sincerely cares about these people, so he's like trying to tell them like you'll get skin cancer stuff, but he just comes off like a big square.
Yeah.
And he's ruining their cover as Lois Lane's trying to, you know, whatever, find out some info.
What are they there for?
What do they think?
Do you think
Lex Luthor's going to steal something there? Oh, that would be good because she'd be following him and tracking him, like, don't let him out of your sight. And then you have that moment where she, like, busts the door down to, like, take a picture. She thinks she's got him. And instead, you know, she, you know, embarrasses him or whatever. And then he's furious. And it's like, you know, he realizes that, you know, the newspaper brought reporters in here because they thought they were going to steal something as this big scandal or whatever.
It feels like you want an action thing to kick it off, though, right? Like, you want something to go down, because then you want Clark Kent to have to turn into Superman, right?
True.
At any rate, it's the rush hour, you blew up a whole city block, that block was messed up anyway kind of moment, right?
Yes,
so then the two of them, so yes, you do, okay, so they...
And Lex Luthor had nothing to do with it, and now he's going to sue us for slander, and because he destroyed his museum or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a big blunder.
Okay, and then Lex Luthor gets away with whatever his thing is,
and then
right?
Lois Lane is like, you can say what you want. That was no ordinary criminal. Superman had to take him down. I know Lex Luthor was up to something.
And they're like,
too bad. Like, you know, you're wrong. Now you're going to go apologize to him.
So, yes, then they have to go do the puff piece on Lex Luthor, right?
So then the fun second act is like there. And yes, she's annoyed at Clark Kent because like he's blamed for some reason. And then you get that great thing where like they go to Lex Luthor's house and like she just has to bite her tongue as he's just like showing off his pools and like all like, oh, like, you know, this is where I take care of my puppies. She's like, this is a fucking waste of my time. And he's loving it. He's just milking the fact that he's just totally just wasting this reporter's time and whatnot.
And then so she would pick up the clue to the real story
help
there.
But still,
what if there's
around?
A tiny little person runs out? What if a tiny person hides in Lois Lane's handbag and then she finds them later at night?
Or she sees like a dollhouse. She's like, this furniture looks too real.
Okay, yeah. All right, so they do the puppies on Lex Luthor. They discover a teeny tiny person, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's like, actually, yes. Does Lex Luthor have kids? He should totally have kids in this.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. It's just like there's dollhouses.
He has two fake kids he rented for the photo shoot.
They end up not being real kids.
His niece and nephew. So they discover a teeny tiny person in the dollhouse. Okay, here's another angle on the Jimmy Olsen thing. Rather than them shrinking and going in Jimmy Olsen's ear, you could do that Jimmy Olsen's been missing for like 6 months at the beginning of this thing. And it's like, poor Jimmy Olsen, what happened to him? I don't know. We sent him to cover that the creation of that LexCorp factory like 6 months ago. And then so it's tiny Jimmy Olsen is the one who shows up at Lex Luthor's house.
I feel like you don't want to give away the whole thing by like, once you see a tiny person.
We kind of
like,
know the backside of
it. But you could do Jimmy
Olsen.
She's
getting these mystery messages left for her.
Jimmy Olsen should come with him to do this puff piece. And then she asks him like, hey, I saw something. Go take, you know, I'm going to distract him. Go take a picture. And then he follows Jimmy Olsen. He opens the wrong door and he goes, classic thing. And then Jimmy Olsen hasn't come back from that puff piece. And then where was he? He's like, I don't know. Like, why is your photographer can't even do his job correctly? And yes, he's missing for the rest of the movie. And we know something happened to him. And then, yes, I think they're going to find tiny Jimmy Olsen. That'd be so great is that Jimmy Olsen just like shows up. He's like drinking. And like, all of a sudden there's something in his coffee. He thinks it's a fly. And it's Jimmy Olsen. They're like, Jimmy Olsen, where have you been? He's like, I got a story to tell you. And you get this flashback of he's like, insane Toy Story Homeward Bound journey that this poor miniature Jimmy Olsen does to like travel 14 miles through New York City as like the size of an ant.
Here's what you would do. What they discover at the end of Act Two then is that, because they need to discover something that they're now trying to prove, right?
Yes.
And it would be a link between Lex Luthor and Kryptonian technology.
Ah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, because he recognizes it as Superman, right? And he can't tell Lois Lane, like, I know that that's Kryptonian or whatever.
Yes.
So now Superman's got to get involved in the story.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Clark Kent is that classic, like, he's feeling a little sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, oh, are you feeling okay? It's because there's Kryptonium, like,
yeah,
around,
kryptonite or whatever.
Around here.
All right. So they do go to a puff piece
cold.
On Lex Luthor. Oh, shit. He's got kryptonite.
And then you're like, ooh, maybe Lex Luthor is getting, suspects Clark Kent now.
Okay, yes. All right, so mystery afoot. And so now you do Act 3. The mystery is like, what's he doing with this Kryptonian technology? How did he get it? What's going on? Oh, this, this is an interesting inversion.
Mm-hmm.
You do it like this. You do that Superman has to team up with Lois Lane on a story, and he's worried about her finding out he's Clark Kent,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the normal thing.
Okay.
Because he has to be Superman on the story. He can't be like Clark Kent being like, I've got a scoop. It's, kryptonite, because he's not supposed to know what kryptonite even fucking is.
Yes.
Right. But Superman and Lois Lane's been wanting to get closer to Superman.
Yes.
Right. So then you do and again, this is putting all his nerves on the table. Like once she hangs out with, it's all well and good to swoop in and save her when she's falling off of a building or show up and stop a tank and flex and fly off. But I don't know what to talk about after 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Superman and Lois Lane go on an adventure together.
This is perfect. Here's the mix of them. What's fun is what you do is she's got something she's supposed to do. This puff piece is continuing. She's supposed to go down to the charities and see where his money's being spent.
She's supposed to spend a week with Lex Luthor.
Yeah, she's got the stuff that she's supposed to do.
She did a thing called a week with Superman, and Lex Luthor wants a profile on him that's as good as Superman.
She's got this thing she's got to do.
Yeah.
Superman agrees with Lois Lane. Lex Luthor's up to something. You have this whole more epic action thing going on where it's like he's smuggling in tons of materials with a bunch of dangerous gangsters and stuff.
Yes.
And Superman comes to Lois Lane's like, I need your help. Like, stuff's going on. I need you to do this or whatever. So the two of them are going to team up. So what does Lois Lane do? She's like, Clark Kent, you fucking owe me. You got to do the puff piece. So he's stuck. So whenever she's going to do the dangerous stuff, he both has to be Superman with her, but still go do the puff piece stuff
as
Clark Kent. Because otherwise Lois Lane's going to be disappointed, and he does want to make sure that the story goes well for her. Otherwise, she can get fired.
The whole newspaper could get taken.
Well, he's like Clark Kent. I don't know where Lois Lane. Yeah, there's that thing where who's the boss in the newspaper?
Perry White.
Perry White's like, I don't know where Lois Lane is, Clark Kent. But if this story is not great, she's going to get fired. So poor Clark Kent.
Lois's career in his
hands. The stakes are super high on the other side too.
It's just him having to go. Lex Luthor clearly wanted to fuck Lois Lane, right? So that's why he wanted to do this sporty hit on her. And it's like, actually, I'm going to be filling in for Lois Lane today. He's like, great. Now he's just got this doofus third wheel Clark Kent on a date with him.
Yes.
And they're going to all these romantic locations as he's like,
where's Lois Lane?
Like,
no, don't worry. She's
that's
she's,
great because then you get that Tumblr cloud by doing that Lex Luthor Clark Kent.
Oh, that's
Kent
good
shit,
too. Yep.
You know what I mean?
And then
they learn each other's secrets, right?
He's essentially balancing between saving her career and saving her life between these two stories.
Oh, it's great too because Clark Kent hears how much Lex Luthor hates Superman.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, Superman, that guy's such a pain in my ass. Do you know what it's like living in his shadow, Clark Kent? He's like, I do know what it's like.
I relate
to
you.
These two guys got something in common.
Okay, so that's very fun.
That's very, 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 very good. And then, meanwhile, then he's got to go run off and be Superman with Lois Lane and help her get into the crazy stuff.
So the end of the third act is they essentially figure out what.
Okay, because here's what I was going to say. Here's what I was gonna say. Classic thing you do. Lex Luthor's building a Space Needle type art installation for Metropolis, right? Like his gift to the city, right?
Yes.
And of course, it's a statue of him. It looks like him, right? It's he says, no, it's just an abstract statue. It's not supposed to represent anything, but it's very clearly Lex Luthor. But then you do, she's like, there's something going on with that statue. Like there's been these weird shipments. Again, Superman feels sick whenever he flies near it. And it's because it's a giant shrink ray that's being built. The head architect is secretly Brainiac, right? So so you do essentially the midpoint thing is she gets an informant on the inside, right? She's like, the architect wants to meet with us, right? And of course, that's that twist-o-reno is the architect shrinks them down.
Yes.
He uses the power of the thing to shrink Superman. He's like, now what are you going to do, Superman? You fucking asshole. Like, you can't save your city at all. And he's like, oh no. And then he's got to go on Jimmy Olsen's shoulder and help him be Superman.
Wait, I thought Jimmy Olsen was shrunk.
Oh, well, then I don't know what
you do. Does it? It feels like the big climax, or at least the big spectacle is going to be that the Earth gets shrunk.
That seems like the sort of thing you he's trying to stop from happening, isn't it?
I'm just trying to think. It's like, if
by the way, you could do like the beam is on. I've never seen this before. Like the world is shrinking around the beam. So you it's all getting sucked in. Oh, so it is like you're in flux, right? So he starts out running like from the shrinking thing, but then like as things are shrinking towards him, like all of a sudden you see the pyramid zooming towards him. That'd be kind of cool. Good. And then he's trying to like he has to go around the world to get to the back to stop to get to the switch
for
on the back
on switch.
Okay, so how wide is the all the way around shorter than?
Hey, like, can he just take a left like an airplane? Well, sometimes not. You know what I'm saying?
Because he's getting chased by Lexi. I don't know. What do you guys want from me?
Okay, let's just think about specifically. Okay, let's work. This is fine. So let's just work backwards from like a climax. Because I'm trying to get.
All right.
Is it just like Tiny Superman or like again? It feels like I guess I'm just trying. It feels like you want to deliver on. Even if it's just like Metropolis, I'm just trying to think of like it feels like a good place to put the characters. It just feels like Superman shrunk. It doesn't feel like that much dangerous for Superman, as opposed to it felt like more dangerous when you were like if they shrink a city or like he's trapped inside like a marble with no power and like he's in a city full of all tiny people and like we're hopeless. Like what are we gonna do? And it's like how are they gonna get out of there? Feels like a and then when he does break out, he's still Tiny Superman. And then it's like the fun of like and he's got to like save this Marvel city at the same time while trying to fight the bad guys or whatever it is.
Okay, so yes, if you were gonna do that, then it would be he's shrunk down Metropolis.
Yeah,
right, because it's.
Because then he unites everybody. Then
they all have to use their cell phones to light up Superman. Even, and then he has to tell them all who he really is.
Yeah, he's sad and lonely. He's like, I can't help you. And they all believe him in anyways. They're like, it's not, we don't just love you because you're Superman. We love you because of what you believe in. And like, you're still that person.
Yeah.
And you could do, if you want to, you can have Lois Lane isn't in that. Or she should find out he's Superman in this movie.
I mean, if the whole city finds out, she's gonna
find out. Yeah, they're gonna
find out. Yeah, they're gonna be like, we'll all keep it on the DL from Lois Lane.
I mean, you could totally buy that in like a winky sort of movie. Like, don't worry, Superman.
Don't worry, Superman. The entire city of Metropolis won't tell.
Exactly.
Nary a blogger in sight.
But you could do if you wanted to do. You would do that. Lois Lane is on the outside. Well, no, but if he's gonna come clean to the city, you should come clean to her as well.
Yes. And they all help him, and then he breaks out, and then it's like, yes. Then you have Brainiac and Luthor or whatever are like,
and then you have so like, yeah, you're a two. Way action sequence, right? Where you do that, yes, they're going to help Superman break out, and then Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen have to lead the people of Metropolis like to storm the tiny tower in Metropolis City to sync up with the big laser beam. And of course, it's being guarded by robots or something like that. And then Superman's going to save the city by they're going to sync them up together.
Yes. Okay. And then what's their plan once they've shrunk?
And then you do, of course, Brainiac's like, man, I'll see about that. And he drops a spider into the city. And you're like, oh, my shit, fucking big-ass spider in there. They got to fight now.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so what's their ultimate plan? What's, like, Brainiac's Lex? Is this, like, a test and now they're just going to do it for every city? Like, they're just going to go around just, like, miniaturizing stuff or... Is he going to do the whole world?
Oh, yeah, maybe he's got, like, now he's on a rampage across the world, shrinking all of the world's great cities.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Because he's going to put them up in his collection, because he's the ultimate fanboy. He's really commentary on the dark nature of fanboys.
What if the Ray, instead of shrinking cities, turned people into Funko Pops? You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
why don't you just make the whole world a Funko Pop Superman?
And like Lex Luthor's in a toy store. He's like, I sense something. He turns to the right and there's a whole bunch of Funko Pops of Superman. And he stares at them. He's like, nah, I guess it's nothing. He walks away and then one of them turns his head. He's like, that's the real Superman who's turned into a Funko Pop.
Well, you could totally do, by the way, you do like that good guy Lex Luthor turn where like he gets betrayed by Brainiac as well. And he's like, oh, my ego.
He thought
my
it was just Metropolis.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the classic. He's like, I will help you shrink. He's been told, I'm going to shrink Metropolis, get rid of Superman for you. I need the power to do this. And then I'm going to go off to other worlds and shrink their cities. Don't worry, Earth's yours.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm fucking shrinking. I'm going to fucking, there's 6 billion people here and I make space drugs. I need all the cities possible. He's going to shrink them all.
Yes. He thought he could control Brainiac, right?
Yes.
And use this power. He'd shrink Metropolis and be like, I now rule the world.
Yes.
I'm as great as Superman. The world's going to be run by me. And now you'll have to finally listen to my great ideas, like putting solar panels on the roof of your house and, you know, putting solar panels in the street and, you know,
real
like
ideas, not butt yoga, but
not asshole yoga, like Superman's dumb wellness crap. That shit doesn't even work. And so then Lex Luthor feels like everyone will finally listen to him if he gets to, you know, if he shrinks Metropolis and shows how great his inventions are, right?
Yes.
But then, of course, Brainiac's like, no, you don't understand. I'm going to shrink the entire Earth.
Yes.
Right? Like this was just a test of my power. I'm going to go to the North Pole and zap the North Pole. Because, oh, here's what you do. There's like a resonance node or something in the Fortress of Solitude, which is Superman's fortress on the North Pole or wherever the fuck the Fortress of Solitude is. So he's going to get it to the fucking North Pole and zap the beam, the thing, and then it's going to turn the whole world into a tiny crystal.
That's good. The turn that it's like the reason they can now shrink the world is because now that Superman's stuck in this tiny thing, it's that, yes, they should find out where the Fortress of Solitude is, and that's how they're going to shrink the whole Earth.
Yes. Okay, cool. I think you got a movie there.
Yeah.
That's some goofy soups.
Goofy
soups.
Soups
on, boys.
God.
All right, when we come back, a very special elevator pitch.
This is NASA. I see a flat Earth, but we should lie to everybody about it and say it's round. 10-4.
Maximum Fun brings you the latest podcast, an expose on the flat Earth.
I want to take advantage of humankind and make them believe a lie so that they will trust us with the government.
It's all an elaborate lie. And when you get on a plane, they purposefully fly you farther than you need to go.
It's disgusting. It needs to be stopped. And if you listen to Ono, Ross, and Carrie, we will tell you the truth behind the lies.
Just kidding.
No, we won't do that. We will just tell you the truth behind the truth, because what we do is we look at extraordinary claims.
That's right. We've gone undercover with alternative medical treatments, fringe religious groups, fringe science claims, the spiritual, paranormal. We're there to check it out and let you know what happens.
Is the Queen Mary haunted? I don't know. Find out.
We show up. We make friends. We learn what happens when you ask questions, and we tell you all about it.
And we get all that funky stuff done to us.
It's Ono, Ross, and Carrie
at MaximumFun.org.
Faster than a speeding screenplay. More powerful than the Pixar story team circa 2002. Able to pitch entire movies in a single elevator ride. Look, up there. It's Brad Bird. No, it's a plane. No, it's Story Boy. This week, Story Boy enters the elevator of solitude to pitch Superman to the Brothers Warner.
Wait, hold the elevator, Oh, golly, gee willikers. Oh my gosh, it's you, the Brothers Warner.
Yes.
Of course it's us.
Wow, gee whiz, my name's Billy
I'm
Campos.
Hungry.
I'm Billy Fields, mild-mannered production intern here.
There's another person in here who operates the elevator. Why are you going to say hi to them?
Hello, Warner Brother 1 and Warner Brother 2.
Elevator operator.
An elevator
operator. Yeah, what about me?
And Otis, the elevator operator.
Yeah, I'm Otis.
Okay, well, I'm glad I have all three of you here, because I couldn't help but notice when I was delivering the trays.
Don't talk to Otis, he's the help.
Well, okay, that seems like some weird stuff going on there, but I couldn't help but notice when I was passing out the trades this morning in my job as a mild-mannered production intern that you guys needed to pitch for a new Superman movie. And I was talking to my pal, Story Boy, the world's greatest screenwriter, and we came up with a take that I think you guys will find is pretty nifty.
Story Boy, huh? Isn't he problematic?
He's...
Because we love that here.
Because we love it.
Well, then he's problematic as hell. Let's go. Do you guys want to hear the movie?
Yes.
Why right. not? I'm rich and bored.
Otis, here's a fiber. Take the elevator nice and slow.
This is more money than I make in a week.
All right, guys. It's a classic Superman story. It's a newspaper story with him and Lois Lane. It's romance. It's mistaken identities. It's robots and shrinking cities. And, of course, everyone's favorite character, Jimmy Olsen, the mild-mannered cop reporter. So here's how it goes. Clark Kent, Lois Lane, are at a gala for a new Lex Luthor thing. The unveiling of the plans for the new building he's building in Metropolis, a gift to the city that kind of looks like him. And they're like, this is kind of weird. Lois Lane thinks there's more to the story, and so she goes in for a scoop. It all turns disastrously when robots attack. And we're like, what the heck's going on? And Lois Lane makes a big embarrassment out of Lex Luthor because, you know, Clark Kent's helping her do that. And the two of them, as punishment, get assigned to do a puff piece together on Lex Luthor himself. Meanwhile, we develop our romance. Clark Kent has all these feelings for Lois Lane. He can't tell her that he's really Superman. He says it's because he's got powerful enemies and he doesn't want her to get hurt. But really, we know it's because he doesn't want to get hurt, because he doesn't want to open himself up to her, because he, just like every other Joe in Metropolis, sees Superman as something that's a little hard to live up to in reality, and he's worried about showing Lois Lane every side of himself. So the two of them go to do this.
I don't relate to that at all.
Well, you gentlemen are perfect in every way, but you know, for us mere mortals with feet of clay, this is the kind of story we like. So What you do is basically the two of them are doing this puff piece on Lex Luthor and they discover he's harboring secret Kryptonian technology. Where did he get this stuff? Why does it make Superman weak? It's kryptonite, of course. But Clark Kent can't tell Lois Lane that it's kryptonite because then he blows cover. So he decides to team up with her as Superman, sort of developing their romance together. He's got to spend more time with her now and he's worried about her finding out that he's really Clark Kent, this dumb loser that she hates. Well, doesn't hate, but you know, doesn't really respect him. Anyway, so the two of them are investigating this mystery of Superman and Lois Lane. Meanwhile, Clark Kent has to take over the puff piece as from Lois Lane that he's doing on Lex Luthor. And so you get this fun like A story, B story where he and Lex Luthor are bonding over their mutual rivalry with Superman. He's romancing Lois Lane as Superman and revealing more of himself, all while discovering this mystery and tracking down an elusive architect who designed this strange building. And of course, it turns out to be Brainiac, the evil android from the stars who collects cities and shrinks them down as trinkets or baubles, you know, testaments to his power. And of course, when they discover that, Jimmy Olsen gets shrunk down to the size of a peanut, and he's trying to help Superman realize the plot, but it's too late. The city of Metropolis gets shrunk down and put in a jar. Lex Luthor thinks his day of achievement has come because this is his whole way of proving that he has the technology to rule the world and make everyone finally listen to his ideas about solar power and green energy. But little does he know, he was getting played by Brainiac, a superior intellect the entire time. And Brainiac wants to use his new death laser created with Luthor's money to go to the Fortress of Solitude and zap it with his shrink ray to shrink the entire world into the size of a crystal. But what's Superman going to do about it? He's trapped in Metropolis, which is tiny and the size of a pocket. He doesn't have access to the sun. All of his power is weak. The only way for him to save the world is to reveal to the city of Metropolis his true identity and say, I am Superman. I need all of you to turn on your cell phones and sun them at my butthole so I can get the power of the sun.
Wait, what?
We'll talk butthole? About it later.
Whoa, hold on. You had me up until the butthole part.
We'll workshop the butthole stuff in the storyboards. So Superman
because
gets the power
I'm
of the sun again.
Now I'm fully interested.
Now I am fully torqued. Superman gets the power of the sun again. He blasts out of there, and his tiny Superman has to take down Brainiac and save the day and save the city. Meanwhile, Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen lead a revolution in the streets of Metropolis to overthrow the Luthor Tower, and they bring the city back to its full size. You know, Superman tells Lois how he feels. They get married and have lots of babies. Jimmy Olsen, you know, he becomes the star of the story. He becomes a full-time reporter instead of a cover reporter at the newspaper. And you're like, what happened to Lex Luthor? Did he just vanish? No, you reveal off in the desert somewhere, a teeny tiny Lex Luthor who's still shrunken down is plotting his revenge.
Yeah.
You know what I like about this one, brother?
What's that, brother?
If money is power. This is a story about a rich man pretending to be a poor man to get a lady. But then he just gets to say, hey, I am a rich man. And then he gets that lady.
Just like real life.
I love it. Leave the elevator now.
Now get out of this elevator.
And the whole time they didn't know that I, secretly, mild-mannered production intern Billy Fields, was really Story Boy, the ace screenwriter who solves all the world's story problems.
Very good.
Subscribe to my channel, youtube.com/storyboy, where I lay out all of the flaws of Star Wars The Last Jedi.
I knew it.
Guys, that was one of my favorite episodes of this show we've ever done. That was a freaking blast.
I like that. I'm not even a big Superman fan. And
that'd be a fun movie, right?
It'd be a very fun movie. Yeah, a Superman
just do
movie.
A fun one. It doesn't need to be about him being like, but I am a god. How do I deal with being a god in this world of ants? Like, that's not relatable. He's a boy who's in love with a girl. He's awkward. He wants to do the right thing. It's simple shit, people.
And
that's
feel,
how you fuck up a grilled cheese sandwich. Come on.
It needs to feel like an Ernst Lubitsch movie with, like, Michael Bay action.
Yeah, you know, like the... Yeah, come on. It's simple.
All right.
It's like on the grilled cheese subreddit where people post pictures of grilled cheese sandwiches that have tomato and stuff and people flip out. Like, that's how I feel about Superman movies when they try to give me all this Ayn Rand savior bullshit. I'm like, no, it's easy. It's a grilled cheese sandwich. Superman is a grilled cheese sandwich and tomato soup. You just have to do that really well. I know it's not sexy. I know it's not some subversion and gritty, but you just have to serve me up. Sometimes you just want grilled cheese, Freddy.
I agree.
I'm worked up.
I agree.
Well, because it's grilled cheese is the perfect analogy because of that desperation of trying to make it something adult or serious.
It's
so you feel better about
it. Just like admit you're a fucking your mom child gave you when you were a kid.
Yeah, you like grilled cheese. It's okay.
Once upon a time, you were a six-year-old boy and you felt weak and you read Superman and he felt powerful and that made you feel strong and it made you have brave enough to get through your shitty day as a six-year-old.
Man.
It's simple shit.
Simple shit.
All right.
Release the Snyder Cut.
Hey, Will, do we have any release the Snyder Cut. Release the Snyder Cut. Give us Zack Snyder's vision. The world demands it.
Will,
all right.
What do we got on the what do we got on the fan art front here at the end of the year?
Let's see. We actually have two things I'd like to talk to you guys about today. One, Mitchell Burton gave us his own Christmas movie pitch.
Cool.
A group of rogue mall Santas sees Rockefeller Center demanding $1 billion ransom to compensate families of those who served anonymously as Santa. A U.S. postal inspector brings the original Macy's Santa out of retirement to save Christmas. That's right. It's Sean Connery, Nicolas Cage, and Ed Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
The Rink.
There's
a very, very good poster with Sean Connery with an adorable Santa hat on his head. Thank you, Mitchell. That's fucking brilliant. Also, as well, frequent TikTok enthusiast and fan art contributor Nikki on Twitter at Penichillin did a short film about Waldo. It's not really fan art, but she said it was kind of inspired by our episode. It's really freaking funny. So good on you, Nikki. You can find both of those on our Twitter page. Freddie Wong, hit him with the social.
Hey, we're at RJ Storybreak on Twitter, bit.ly/StorybreakFB. And we're also part of the Maximum Fun Podcast Network. You can see all the great podcasts on there at MaximumFun.org. Going 2 years strong now. 3 years strong. How long have we been on there?
We're coming up on our third-year anniversary,
right?
I think.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah.
Time flies.
Well, thank you so much.
Feels like it's a decade.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is going to be the last Story Break episode of the year. We're going to do a Christmas rerun next week. And then when we get into the new year, we're right back into Heaven Heist.
We're heisting Heaven Part 2. New Year's resolution. Finish that bad boy.
That's right. So we're going to do a little recap episode of all the scenes.
Yeah, we're going to do a little audio drama kind of thing for you guys, where we're going to stitch together all of the reenactment bits from the last run of Heaven Heist episodes.
So you'll know kind of where we are in the story.
So you remember the screenplay crimes we've done.
Someone was tweeting at us about Whoopsie the Whale, and I was like, oh my God, that was this year.
I was like, oh no.
Yes.
What have we? It'll be as much about us re-listening to it to be like, what have we done?
What have we wrought now that we're in the hard part, the second act that you did? No, boy.
This could be great.
All right. Well, merry, happy holidays / Honda days to all of the Story Break listeners out there. Thank you guys so much for another wonderful year of this podcast. It was a real pleasure to bring it to your ear holes. And
merry coffee, everyone.
Merry coffee,
everyone. So for the last time in 2019, I'm Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos.
I'm Matt Arnold.
You already kind of said your funny catchphrase. Do you want to just say it again? Merry coffee?
Merry coffee, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Just as funny the second time.
Have you ever watched a movie so bad you just needed to talk to somebody about it?
Well, here at the Flophouse, we watch a bad movie and then talk about it.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything. We'll watch it and we'll talk it. We do the hard work.
Featuring the beautiful vocal talents of Dan McCoy.
Stuart Wellington.
And me, America's Rascal, Elliot Kalin.
New episodes every other Saturday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts, dude. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.